Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background on the show. We are excited. It is draft week. Man, did draft week creep up on us or what, Glenn?
It's crazy because it's like it's so far away from the end of the season. But yeah, it feels like it did kind of creep up a little bit.
And just absolutely crazy stuff. I couldn't agree more. But we're excited to get into it. This episode is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to do our full seven-round mock drafts. Each one of us, we'll present those to you guys as we normally do. Now, look, I think I get a handicap this year.
Why?
Because I just had a child and I'm not thinking properly.
Well,
my lack of sleep is chronic.
Look, we've had a
No excuses. I'm bummed that I just said that. No excuses.
We've had a long time to prepare for this, okay,
Jimbo? You know what? You're right. No excuses. I'm really mad at myself that I just said that. I'm looking forward to this. Looking forward to winning like I did last year. But what we'll do is we'll go back and forth. If that works for you, Glenn. We'll go, your first rounder, my first rounder, bang, 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 bang.
Certainly. Does that work? It sounds good. Now, I don't want to see you pulling any shenanigans with any picks that aren't realistic, okay? I think I remember last year there was maybe one where you made a selection at the last end of the draft. It got A's across the board, but I didn't think it was legit.
I remember it being 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago? Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Maybe my timeline's a little off, but I want realistic picks here, Jimbo. Don't tell me they're taking Caleb Williams in the fifth round, okay? That's what I don't want to see,
Dude, stay away from that guy, by the way.
You don't like him, huh? You're not trusting him.
Well, look, he turned the ball over five times and never beat the Utes. What's that?
Oh, that's right.
A generational talent? What are you talking about here? Like, you can't beat poor Utah and your USC, and you throw the ball away five times?
I like how they're poor Utah.
Says Utah sucks. Come on, bro. What are you doing?
They're poor Utah when you're making that point.
Well, when you're comparing it to, I mean, he's living in Hollywood, right? And he's a millionaire in USC. He's painting his nails to say Utah sucks and he turns the ball over five times. You want that guy as your franchise, the face of your franchise? I don't. Just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, Katie says hi in the chat.
Hi, Katie.
You've been missed. What's going on, Dylan? What's going on, Malik? John, Dylan, Mitty Raw. What's going on, boys? Is it Keese? Or Quise, because I normally be like Marquise Hunter. I think it's Quise.
Keese,
I'm going to go Keese. Yeah, what's going on, Ravens win 16? And is it Dresky? A.K.A. Andre Mears? What's going on? Bateman isn't going anywhere, he says. And I'm glad he brought that up, Jimbo, because that's where I'm going to start.
Okay.
There's been a lot of rumors floating around as of lately, and very recent, I would say, where people are starting to be More than just preparing for a potential Rashad Bateman draft night trade, but some are even saying it's a foregone conclusion that he will not be a Raven, at least for the entirety of the 2024 season. Some people are saying he may start as a Raven, but I wanted to share this. These are some odds that are currently being shared around on the gambling sites of where Rashad Bateman will take his first snap in this upcoming regular season. And shockingly, I mean, unless I'm missing something, where are the Ravens on this list here, Jimbo?
See, this gambling stuff starting to get odd to me, right?
What are they telling us?
For the Ravens, take the Ravens, but at the same time, these gambling companies have so much power and so much know-how, intel these days.
Yeah.
It's like,
But like, and to me, the Broncos, we've heard from maybe a source or two that Cortland Sutton and the Denver Broncos may be willing to make a move. And could we see a Sutton-Bateman swap with some maybe picks exchanged?
Yeah, I guess so. I just don't see the Ravens giving up on a guy that quick.
The only way they would give up on him is because of also what I've heard here, Jimbo, is that Rashad Bateman may have requested
a trade
similarly to Hollywood Brown. And if you request a trade, the team gets you up out of there. typically, yeah. Unless you're Lamar Jackson, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're level. Yeah, yeah.
Then they go, no, we didn't hear that. We didn't hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
So
sorry, Lamar. Business doesn't work that way.
Any, like, because I mean, if he says he wants to be out of there, they're gonna move him, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if he's really adamant about being out there or being out of Baltimore, then yeah, I think they do move him. But I just, man, Glenn, I don't see this. I think this is This is a storyline that they're trying to build up into something that it's the off season, right? So the
odds makers, they're talking about odds makers here, Jimbo. This isn't just Joe Schmo. We're talking Vegas odds, yeah. And they're not typically very far off.
I don't know. I feel like I like to think that I know the Ravens' history longer than. Now, you're right. There's two things. If he wants gone, the Ravens are gonna are most. If they can get value, they are going to appease, right? But I don't know if I see it, Glenn. I don't know.
I would be shocked in the sense that I feel like this is the year for Rashad, right? There's nobody in front of him like OBJ that could be stealing his targets. Zay Flowers is there, but there's certainly enough targets to go around for more than one receiver. So I'm anticipating a breakout year, but when I see these odds and I hear the rumors that I've been hearing, man, I just got a feeling that he's asking to get out of there, which man, it's just disappointing because they've put so much draft capital into the receiver position. And I mean, right now it's just Zay that's turned out. Everybody else is either not turned out or they have forced their way out of Baltimore. But as far as what that trade would look like, obviously player for player, but let's say it is Courtland Sutton and Rashad Bateman. Would you expect the Ravens to have to kick in some extra spice to make that deal happen, or Denver to have to kick in some? Like, who do you look at as the more valuable player right now, Courtland Sutton or Rashad Bateman?
That's a really good question, because the thing about Rashad is that if he leaves, I don't know what Courtland's contract is, but you know what? I guess even though he's older than Rashad, oh man, this is tough, Glenn. To give you a straight answer, because you would say, like, if I'm not mistaken, he's been a captain. He's more of a proven commodity. I know he had one injury, if I'm not mistaken, that was pretty severe, but he's been relatively healthy, unless I'm missing something. He's a big body guy, which I know that is something that's important for you and a lot of Ravens fans who are tired of getting the 6-1ers and saying that they're 6-4, you know what I mean? And playing them as if they're 6-4 and have this great catch radius. So I think the Ravens only deal if they're winning. So if they have to kick in Rashad and then some, I don't think they consider themselves winning.
Yeah.
That's just the way that I see it.
So you think they don't make the move unless Denver's kicking in that extra piece?
Something. Yeah. It's got to be something there. I don't think. Yeah. 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 That's the way I see it. What about you?
I mean, I'm just kind of, I'm confused by it all. The only thing that makes sense is if Rashad did force his way out, but from the Ravens' perspective, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to trade him for Courtland, because Courtland's going to be wanting to get paid, right? Like, am I missing something? Well, and something?
Rashad, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be both of them, right?
So it's like, what's the, I don't know. Unless they really think they can pay one of those guys, and it's like a Patrick Queen and my God. Blanking on his name, our middle linebacker.
Roquan.
Unless it's like a Patrick Queen Roquan situation where they wanted to give the money to Pat Queen, didn't feel he deserved it. So now they trade and get the guy who they really want to pay. And maybe that's the case, but man, I don't know, man. To me, it's like the only reason he's gone is because he forces himself out, and the Ravens just have to make the most of or the best of kind of a tough situation. But I'm hopeful that he stays here. We've heard nothing but, you know, high hopes and positivity when John was asked about him and when Eric was asked about him. So hopefully that's not just them trying to spice up his trade market and you know, act like they believe so much in him. They hype up his value. Hopefully it's legitimate. And, man, if he can stay healthy, man, I just feel like he's got so much potential. But the guy's just got to – he's got to stay healthy, stay on the field.
Yep, got to stay healthy, got to stay on the field. And him and Lamar have got to jive. They've got to – whatever they need to figure out to be able to work better together, they've got to figure it out, right?
Yeah. But when I saw these odds, I went, that's a little bit more That's a little bit more than just, you know, some BS that
people that's true.
Are trying to stir up on social media.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, but let's get into what we came here for, and this is the
final. Wait. We have the most important thing to talk about. We came here today, and that's Trent Baalke with the breaking news.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, DK, let's get into it, dude.
Look, we all know high pressure can lead to stomach issues.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Yeah.
Holy crap. You heard the all of it. My God.
Pardon me.
Excuse me. It just keeps on moving, dude.
Hey, wow. Look, we've all been there. We've all been there where one was trying to,
You know what it looked like to me, though?
What's that?
It looked like he thought it was going to be silent.
Oh, I'm sure. There's no way. I bet he was sitting in like a leather chair. You know them leather chairs, man. They'll get you, bro. They will get you. But
dude, you ever had to pause for a second because you're like,
can I trust this?
I don't know if I don't know what. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A little too warm.
You risk it and it pays off for it, right? You know, if you don't know if there's anything coming out, and you're like, yeah.
I've been wrong, brother. I've been wrong. And here's why I'll say, quick side note. My son, I was playing baseball, and he's like, you know, we're at a tennis court. We were only playing there because it was dry. It was the only dry place. Everything else was wet. I said, we'll play at the tennis. He goes, what? We're at a tennis court. Let's play some tennis. He hits the ball. He's running up to try and get the tennis ball. He steps on the tennis ball, rolls his ankle, falls face first into the net, is laughing so hard about what just happened, he pees his pants. And he's I'm like, did you just roll your ankle, go face first in the net, and then piss your pants? He's like, yes. And I'm like, and he's trying to ask me, when's the last time that happened to you? And I said, and I got to thinking, I went, man, I'm in an age where it's far more likely that I'll shit my pants than piss my pants, because I can't remember when I last peed my pants, but I remember at least two occasions where I shit myself. And look, I trusted a fart on one of them. And let me tell you, it was way faster. Like, I'm like, all right, I'll just, it's a little fart, and then whoop. Filled up my pants. I mean, it was so fast. It was in an instant. Okay. And that happened at work, which is not easy to then explain to your manager. But
question, were you sick?
Not that time. The other time I was sick. Yeah. That time I was trying to be tough and make it into work.
Yeah. I think I remember you called, like, somehow I think we ended up in communication.
I probably shared that.
Previous to or right after this whole thing.
Yep. Yep, I filled up. And you know what? That was worse, because that happened while I was driving. And I had to sit in it like a child. I had to sit in it. Okay? I'm sorry about that, guys, in the chat. I do apologize. But look, we've all had issues. But it made me think, wow, you get to a certain age where you're far more likely to go number two than number one in your pants. So, Trent Baalke, I understand your pain to some degree. I will say he was ballsy for trusting a fart, because it could have been worse. It could have been what I had come out of there. And all of a sudden, he's, like you said, an inch taller and a whole lot more uncomfortable. But yeah, he was trying to be sneaky and everywhere. I love how the mic picked it up, everything.
Oh, I mean, yeah, just the like both gears. Like, it changed gears on him and picked it up. Dude, that was amazing.
Oh, it's too good. It's too good. But well, all right, we're going to get back to what we came here for, okay? Yep. Which is, of course, mock draft time. So I'm going to get everything set up here. We're going to go through this, and I know that you said we're going to do it separately, but how do we exactly do it separately when only one of us is going to be sharing their screen? I'm assuming.
Oh, well, we don't have to share a screen unless you want to share a screen. We can walk through it that way.
Oh, we can just simply, okay. All right.
Talk
I like
about
that.
Our guys, and you know what I mean?
I like it. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. We could
and maybe share, we could share like a little blurb about them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. I like this. So with that being said, do you already know exact? I mean, do you have an idea of what the Ravens are going to be doing? Are they going to be trading up? Are they?
Yeah. So I think the Ravens stay put, and I think a guy falls in their lap. I think a guy falls in their lap that I've been talking about, and this could be me picking with my heart.
Oh, I know.
This could be me picking with my heart, ladies and gentlemen. I think some of you are really going to hate this pick.
Okay.
But I implore you to just give it a second. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go read the statistics. Go learn about this kid. This is a mirror behind me. See that right there? A mirror behind me. Looks like a moon. But anyway, the Ravens are going to take a cornerback in the first. And let me back up really quickly. I think I tried to look back and say, what are the Ravens doing in the first round according to their needs? My top three were offensive line, both interior and tackle. So I kind of lumped them in together when I was looking around, because I don't think they're going to interior first round. Okay. So really tackle, edge, corner. And then what I did is I looked at that and said, where have the Ravens found success in the later rounds with those three positions? Mm-hmm. They haven't done it great with edge. I mean, they've done it okay. I think, except Brandon, they've done it pretty poorly at corner. I mean, we've had some swings and misses lately at corner later in the draft. And we've done it okay at tackle. Like, I mean, obviously, if you look at Orlando Brown, he was a third-round pick. And I think there's some other guys that you could think about. Even, I mean, we don't really know what Falele is yet.
But you can see him.
You could even throw McCary in there as a, he might be a starter on a lot of teams. And he's an undrafted guy, right? So I feel like the Ravens have more faith in, one, the depth of this drafted tackle, and two, their ability to find tackles that can play starting and contributing roles later in the draft. I would love it if they went tackle first round. I would not complain about this. Won't be a wow moment, like an Adafi Owe moment. But I think that with corner being thinner, I think that with Marlon's contract, this the way that it is, and this potentially being his last year with Baltimore, and their need to keep, you know, that position strong, I think the Ravens go with the Iowa cornerback, Cooper DeJean. And I think the reason they go with him is because he's a Raven. He's incredibly versatile. He's incredibly athletic. He's a smart football player, and I think he can contribute early, because if you guys don't know, this dude is in rarefied air when it comes to athleticism. Three-sport all-state athlete. Three-sport all-state or state champion. This dude is an incredible basketball player, a higher-ranked recruit in basketball than Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes. I mean, if this dude was 5 inches taller, he'd probably be playing, you know, be a one and done in college basketball.
That's right? What they used to say about old Jimmy Haskell, the rascal. You know what I'm saying, Jimbo?
And this dude, it's actually true. It's certainly not true with me, but it is absolutely true with this kid. I think he contributes early because he's able to, he's not going to get blown away athletically. I think the things being said about him not being fast enough are stupid. It's just stupid. Because if you're an athlete, you play at the speed that's on the field. I firmly believe that. That's just the way that it works when you're athletic. I don't think he's going to get burned. I don't think he's going to get, you know, outsmarted. I don't think he's going to get out-athleticed. I think he's a great tackler. He's versatile. I love this kid. I love his game. Love his numbers. I think this kid's a Raven. And I think he falls. I think we get value. Eric talked about value there. I think we get value at Deshaun at 30. So that's what I think happens with our first round pick.
Yeah, I think, I heard people criticize when asked about Cooper and his, they talk about his versatility, and they said, well, we kind of already got that guy, right? We got Kyle Hamilton, and
sure.
And then I heard someone say, is there really room enough for two? And then I can't remember who it was. He said, you think it would be a bad thing to have two Kyle Hamiltons on your team? Like, imagine, like, I think they asked, Mike McDonald that once during the regular season. He said, I'd like to have 11 Kyle Hamilton on the team. Like, are you telling me I can put a guy anywhere? So yeah, just the thought of having two guys as versatile of what both of those guys can be. And Cooper can do something that Kyle can't do. He can go outside and man up and play corner against a big time receiver. I don't think they're going to really ask Kyle to do that on the outside. Deet says,
without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think DeJean might just fall into their lap. Whatever talent the most teams overthink and pass on will be the guys the Ravens pick. And that's so true. It reminds me of, when I hear about how, like, measurables can mess up a guy, because really all his measurables are unbelievable, except for there's a couple, like, short area quickness that's had people all of a sudden standoffish and kind of like, ooh, can he get it done in a slot if he doesn't have, you know, the short area? But I think Eric DaCosta loves hearing that because it reminds me of when Suggs fell to him because he kept going into he talked about it, he said kept going into Ozzie's office and saying, we're going to get Suggs. And Ozzie go, we're not going to, there's, he's not going to be there. And then he had his pro day and he ran a 4.8 and Eric went skipping into Ozzie's office. He's like, he's going to be there now. He was so happy. He didn't give a shit about that 4.85 40. He didn't let that even make him pause. And so maybe the things that scare off some other teams won't scare off a guy like Eric DaCosta that does typically rely most on the tape.
No, look, because athletes at this level, this elite level type of athlete, simply, you know, play to the level that's on the field.
Yeah.
Just what he's not going to get. I mean, how many more people come into the league that have these gifts? I mean, there's a handful. I'm just pure athleticism, right? Like it's
sneaky it's athletic, bro.
Sneaky athletic. That's right. I'm and the other thing I'll say too, Glenn, is think about this for versatility. On PFF, they have him listed at cornerback / wide receiver. Like that's how versatile. I'm not saying he needs to play wide receiver.
Ty Law style right there.
Right. I'm not, you know, looking at him that way, but just to you know, to bode your point saying that he's completely very versatile. The changes in the special teams game, he could have a factor there as well. You know, maybe an opportunity for him. But I just think he comes in, he plays early. Good tackler, disciplined football player. I think he gets done. I think at 30, if you get him, you can't really ask for much more. So I think he's in our first pick. I think we stick and pick.
I like it. Now, I will tell you this. I think there's a good shot he does slide down. But in this particular mock that I used.
Yeah.
He was drafted by the Cowboys at 24.
Yeah, now this was funny because when I went more towards PFF and less public, he didn't fall. When I went more public, he did fall.
So I guess it's wait and see and what the NFL GMs are more leaning towards, the public opinion or PFF, or if they just go completely off the rails and go in a whole different direction.
Right.
You know, for me, because I wanted to have the draft in front of me just to see how it fell. It didn't fall like the way I was hoping in this one, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because it kind of makes me have to reevaluate and think about, you know, how I want to do this. I will say to me, it's still a very important position to get offensive tackle. And I do think you got to get a guy who you believe can plug and play week one, be a starter on the right side. But like you mentioned, such a deep draft at tackle, it doesn't necessarily mean they have to take that guy in the first round. And I think I'm going to do something that I said I wouldn't do.
Oh, gosh.
I think I'm going to do it, dude. I know I said,
oh, gosh,
I don't see them, you know, taking a receiver this early. But I've been seeing some connections being made to the Ravens as of late. And look, anytime I see smoke, I think there might be fire. And so, look, I could sit here. I could take Jordan Morgan. He's on my board. He did a top 30 visit. He spent time at the combine with the Ravens. He's got positional versatility. He could play right tackle, but he's a better guard. And I don't think they want to get a guy who can just play a little tackle when his real best position is guard. I don't think that's what they're looking for. I think they're looking for a tackle that'll play right this year and will transition to left. I don't think you get that value here right now. So I'm going to go with a guy that I think they really like. PFF's a little lower on him than I think.
Can I guess?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, is it a wide receiver?
Yes.
Is the kid out of Georgia?
No, not Ladd McConkey. Although he was in the decision-making process. I'm going to go with Xavier Leggett because I think he brings a level of explosiveness. I am starting to buy the smoke around Rashad Bateman being moved. I'm not sold on the fact that he's being moved for another receiver in Cortland Sutton. But I'm not shocked to see – like, I wouldn't be shocked to see that ultimately find out that he forced his way out of Baltimore, requested a trade, which I think is – which, by the way, I think would be silly. It would be kind of dumb. But I just think when there's too many rumors flying around that – there's got to be some truth to it. So I think Bateman gets traded, which then if you imagine Bateman off this team right now, how high would you rank wide receiver is then on the priority list?
Yeah. Second, third,
right. Third.
I still think edge is, I don't know, man.
Who's do we have behind Zay? If you take Bateman away?
No, I just am stuck on this thing where like Lamar's already done great things with Mark Andrews and a clan full of nobodies.
But can like, can then nobody's get them over the hump that is the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, you're not wrong. But I just feel like anyway, I understand your point. I just am stuck on that, like mentally.
Yeah. You know? No, I hear you. It's tough for me. Had
problems, I feel like, offensively, except in spots, but season long with whoever Lamar's throwing the ball to. But I you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, but those spots have been in the playoffs and
big, yeah.
That's you know that's a tough one, but I mean the reason it was hard is because no team in the last 5 years has invested more draft capital wide receiver right. than the Ravens. So to think that they're going to do it again kind of seems crazy. But when the Rashad Bateman stuff starts getting turned out, man, I just start to think. And so I'm going to go Xavier Leggett as my pick. I'm going to put it in right now. There we go. The draft has been made. I'm going to stop sharing. So I don't want you to be influenced. I want you to be able to make your selection.
Okay, fair. Yeah, let's get back to Don C's comment real quick.
Yeah.
I like your pick, by the way, Glenn. I do. It will be that will be a wow moment for me, though, if they go wide receiver again. But yeah. I like the kid. Like, I like the player. It says, great to see Jimmy back in the stream. Thank you, Don. I appreciate it. Congratulations to you and Tanya on the baby. Thank you. All pleasantries aside, you tell Bobby Trust that he can't handle the Willoughby Beach.
About the Willoughby Beach fanboys?
Dude.
How does Don know this?
Dude.
Don.
The last time I played at Willoughby Beach, Glenn, over at Deerfield.
Yeah.
I was next, right?
Oh, no.
I was next. I told this. Sorry, this dude had next. He was about my size, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then a whole bunch of other people showed up, and he booted me off his team. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to wait for next game. I hope you guys win. And I dogged him the whole game.
That's right.
Just let him know. Dogged him.
It was let him know. But Don C, how does Don, where's his intel coming from, bro? How does he know what we used to do on Willoughby Beach, bro?
Legendary stuff, man. We appreciate it, Don. Oh, man. That's awesome. Let's see. Asmodia says, congrats on your kid. Introduce him to a McChicken. Yeah. I'm sure.
I was going to say, I don't think it's happening anytime soon, but one day.
Yeah, got to build tolerance.
That's right.
Laura Roten says, hello to my two favorite 410 Sports Talk boys. Fun listening tonight. Thank you, Laura. We hope you appreciate
Sadie, right? Sadie? I think that was her dog's name, if I remember correctly. Hope Sadie's grown. I'm sure she's full grown now and running around. Oh, yes, Don C. Putting two to – man, this guy, man.
I know.
This
guy. Let me tell you what, Glenn. Speaking of my son, we went to the doctor's today for his appointment, and the doctor was like, what are you feeding this kid? He's currently gaining an ounce a day in weight.
What are you feeding that kid, dude? All natural?
All natural, baby.
All natural, man.
This kid is just down to eat, man. That's
yes, sir.
All day. It's wild.
All right, where are you going with pick two?
Yeah. So – I lament this pick wholeheartedly, but it's only because of where he went to school. I've been on him since.
Oh, I like this pick.
And I probably picked him too earlier, but as I've done some more mocks and like did a little digging, I think that there's a strong opportunity based on the depth at tackle that he's around.
Just so you know, he's gone at 43.
Yeah.
But you can keep him. You can keep him.
He's gone at 43 to who?
To the Falcons.
Why are you so sure about that?
I'm doing a mock right now. He's going at 43 on my mock.
Oh, okay.
I know who you're going to pick because I thought about taking him in the first round. That's how much I like the guy.
No, for sure. I just think that every year there's tail end guys in every position group that end up getting taken lower. Didn't Jeremy Chin go in the bottom of the second round or whatever?
Oh, he was a small school guy, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that I feel like there's guys at every position – that end up just going lower than, and this tackle group is so deep. So I think there's a chance that Kingsley's around. And I think we take him.
I love this guy, dude.
Woo! Yeah. No, and you got me on this because I think he can come in and play right. What's up? Can you still see me? Hear me?
Yeah. I don't have Cooper DeJean's up anymore. I have Kingsley up and it's showing you.
This is DK. This is DK's screen. That's why.
Oh, where's mine? I didn't hit share. That's why.
No. but yeah, I think Kingsley is there.
Okay.
I think he gets taken by the Ravens at pick 62, unless I am misspeaking here. We have the 62nd pick.
Yep. No, you're right.
I think he's there and I think we take him and I think he plays right tackle year one. And I think he swaps over to left tackle in year two. He's athletic. He's fast. He's got good feet. I know he's got stuff to work on, but I just think his athleticism and size allow him to grow into the physically the player that he is. And so I think the Ravens take him. I think this is a good pick here. I was worried about his age, but he actually didn't serve a mission. So straight up.
Oh, now you really don't like the guy.
As I was going to say, that's one of my, if that's one of my red flags, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
If you're a Mormon kid, I served a mission and he didn't, I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
cross him off the list, Jim. But I can't believe you drafted this guy. He's from BYU and he didn't serve a mission, brother.
I know, dude.
Who is this guy across from? He comes back from a vacation. He's a different guy.
Yeah. Cause he's only 21, correct?
Yeah. Barely over.
Yeah. Yep. So he definitely, I mean, it's impossible that he served a mission.
Now, I would love if the Ravens would get him. I find it hard to believe
that he makes it 62.
I just find it, I almost took him at 30. That's how, I think he's the perfect guy. If the Ravens trade out of the first round to the early part of the second, then I think this is their target. I love this guy for them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just big and has a mean streak. And yeah, I'm a big fan. But because of the fact that I think it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough to see him get all the way down to where the Ravens are picking. I went a different direction that I think is just a more, because I want to be right. You know, I want to win this thing. And so in mine, I'm going to go Blake Fisher here. Blake Fisher. Okay. Notre Dame.
There's two guys there, right? There's two tackles and he's the,
He's the right tackle. So he's the lesser known
fiddle.
Right, exactly. But what I've been hearing from both DraftFlex and then I heard it again from Cole is that a lot of talent evaluators think Blake has the higher ceiling and is the more talented of the two. He just has also the lower floor and has more growth to have in front of him rather than, I think it's Joe Alt is their left tackle. But I absolutely think that this guy will be a day one starter at right tackle, no doubt about it. And I do think he has the ability to eventually switch to left because I have a lot of faith in our coaching staff, Joe D. When I hear that this guy might be more talented than the guy who's projected to be, you know, a top 10 pick, then it just tells me that good coaching can unlock that talent. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you'll find a better offensive line coach in the league than Joe D. So I have all the confidence in the world that not only will Blake Fisher be a productive starter at right tackle in year one, but I think he'll transition to left tackle and be a very good left tackle after Ronnie Stanley's gone. Blake Fisher is just another example of a stud offensive lineman coming out of Notre Dame. They produce them every single year. Ronnie Stanley came from there. So we've certainly had, you know, luck as an organization taking guys out of that program. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with Blake Fisher as my tackle solution. So you go corner, then tackle. I go wide receiver and then tackle. Be interesting to see what you have in store for us for your third round pick. But I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on this guy.
All right.
You are back on the clock. Shumal says, can't. I'm sure he's missing a couple words. I'm going to say tell. Can't say. Okay, go back to it now. Okay. How much better y'all make my day? Man.
Dude.
You made my day with that. You made my day with that comment.
Seriously. That's like the nicest thing ever. My goodness.
That's so cool. I appreciate you. Yeah, I like Kieran as well, Ravens win. I do like Kieran, but in mine, he was no longer available, I don't believe. But go ahead with your number 93 pick, Jimbo. Who you got?
Yeah, you know what? I like this kid because I'm you know how I opened my horizons and I went with Kingsley, so I paid my dues. I showed my maturity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
So a lot of people might be saying I'm reaching with this kid.
Utah?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going interior offensive line with Santao Lameo, and I like this kid. He's a four-year starter. He's aggressive. Huh? He's got versatility. He's got strength. I know he's got some inconsistency in his game, and he gets a little grabby.
Okay.
Gets a little grabby, but he's played a lot of positions offensive line. I think he can come in and compete day one for one of those guard spots and be an upgrade from what we got today. And I know that in a lot of drafts, he's lower than this. He's a solid fourth-round pick.
What's his name? How do you spell his name?
Yeah, Sataoa. I think PFF has him super low, if I'm not mistaken. But I like him. He's a 4-year starter. He's a consistent player, and he's versatile, strong, big, he went to the best school in the Pac-12. So that counts for something, right? Best coach in the Pac-12. I honestly don't think it's close, but it's just me. Wow. Kyle Whittingham is an incredible coach.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anyway, that's my guy. I'm taking him. I think we need bodies that can compete and have the you talked about it, the ceiling to play starting pro level football. And I think he's got it with some consistent coaching. So I like him.
I like that. So it looks like from what I'm seeing, just if this helps at all for you, DraftFlex has him as a third, fourth round tweener. And does have him as guard. So not nearly as low on him as PFF is. So
PFF has him like in the 200 in their big board.
Dude, literally 221. Like literally. Yeah.
Come on, man. Like
they don't like. But that's what I love about this season is that people can have very different opinions on the same guy, watching the same exact tape and all that, mm-hmm. but yet come up with very, very different opinions.
And this is one other thing I'll say. I know I'm biased, but Utah wins football games not because they're able to recruit the flashiest skill positions. They have the most disciplined offensive and defensive line in their conference every year, and that only comes from good players and good coaches. So mm-hmm. you know he's going to be disciplined. You know he's going to have some good technique. Like he's going to be able to come in and be a relatively polished player in comparison to some other guys because he's had good coaching throughout his college career.
Yeah, that's certainly valuable on the offensive line. A quarterback is obviously number one, but sure. right behind that, I think, as far as what you wanted to have the best coaching, I think it would be your offensive lineman because every team needs them. Every yep. team. It's like insane how every year that's the same position. That's a position of need for virtually everyone. But mm-hmm. I'm also going to go on the interior offensive line here, Jimbo.
Right.
Just going somewhere a little bit different and a guy that just – he screams Raven in every single way. Cooper Beebe, guard out of Kansas State.
I like this kid too.
Yeah, this guy is an absolute Raven. This guy, you talk about a multi-time team captain, starter for his entire career at Kansas State. He's got 48 starts combined between left guard, left tackle, and right tackle. So he's versatile, has played virtually everywhere on the offensive line. He's mean. He's got nasty to him. He's smart. I mean, this guy is just screams Raven. I know we talked to a lot of people have been putting his name in our chat as we've been doing our mock drafts. And so I got to ask Cole about what his thoughts were. And this is one of Cole's guys, just screams Raven. But also, he's just like every time you find an offensive lineman the Ravens take, they're a 4-year captain.
Yep.
Or like they just do, they check every box. Cooper checks every single box. And with better coaching at a big time, at an NFL program, I think he can get a lot better. He is a absolute big dude. I mean, he is a mammoth, 6'4", 335 pounds. That's going to be guard competition right there. For if Cleveland thinks this job's getting given to him,
right.
You got another thing coming. If Andrew Voorhees thinks he's just going to walk in after a redshirt season and get the left guard spot or right guard, not with Cooper's here. Cooper is going to absolutely make those guys earn it. So he is my pick.
Love it.
But I wouldn't be shocked if they go elsewhere as well. Let me see what let's see what your plans are for the fourth round here, Jimbo. I'm going to get this off. Oh, I meant to remove it, not add it. There we go. All right. So what are you thinking in fourth round, pick 113?
Yeah. So once again, according to PFF, these are a bit reversed, but I'm going interior offensive line again, and I'm doing this in a kind of a disguised way. I think it's funny because certain labels, I think, will push you down in the draft a little bit because mm-hmm. if a team's got a center, to me, it's like having a catcher. right? So like there's really, you know, there's what, 64 starting guards, there's only 32 starting centers. Good right. Point. Mm-hmm. And so if the team has a center and a viable backup, they're not really going to look at a center as closely, in my opinion. So guys have the ability to slip.
Yeah.
And so I think the Ravens take advantage of that. I like Bo Limmer out of Arkansas. And I like him because of his athleticism. He's versatile. And I think he's a good, you know, backup. If what's his name left? Who's the guy that we had as our backup? Mustafer.
Yep.
Mustafer's gone. I think he's a higher ranked prospect, but because he's at that position, I think he has the ability to fall. He's a big boy. If I'm not mistaken, he's 6'4", 310.
What's his name again?
It's Bo Limmer. Give me a second here. Let me just pull his information.
Oh, I got him. He's from Arkansas. I'll share it on the screen now for you, Jimbo. Okay, cool. Just so people can follow along.
6'5", 307. Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you look at his information right here, you want a lot of this stuff. Consistent, fundamental, you know, he's got good hand placement, good leverage. But like I said, Glenn, I think that there's an opportunity for him to be sitting there, even though there's other people that might have him up higher than where we're picking. And I think it's a way to look, dude, you're a guard now. Like, this is the mm-hmm. NFL. You're a guard yeah. now. You can play backup center. You can be the backup center. So, yeah.
Nah, I like that. I like that. I think they need to continue to build in the interior.
It could be boring for a lot of people, but this is how winning is done.
I like it. Okay. All right. Bo Limmer is your guy. I'm going to go a different position this time. I know we kind of were overlapped the last couple, but yeah. We're going to definitely differ here. So I'm going to write that down. You know what? It's funny. Side story. My name was almost Bo.
It's funny. We had that name on our list.
Yeah, you know, my dad wanted my nickname to be Bo. So he tried to give my first name to be Boat. And my mom put the brakes on that, okay? She goes, no, his name isn't going to be Boat. He could have just proposed my name be Bo.
And just have that be your name.
Yeah, which is what he wanted anyway. But he went, I got to think of a full name that can be shortened to Bo. And he went, Boat. Yeah, my name's Glenn now.
Two N's.
Two N's, that's right. But I'm going to go corner here, and I'm going to go with a guy who I'm a big fan of. I think he's got certainly a chance to become an impact player for the Ravens. That's DJ James, corner out of Auburn. Love the competitiveness this guy plays. He's played in a multiple scheme, similarly to what the Ravens like to do, although they've leaned more on zone than man as of late. This guy can do both. He's certainly physical, despite the fact that he's considered to be on a bit of the smaller side. But I love the competitive nature what this guy has. I think he's going to be an instant impact player on special teams. But as many times as these guys go nickel and dime, I think he's going to be playing a lot and contributing on the defensive side of the ball quite early. I like DJ James. He just screams. He just looks like a Raven out there. And so, for that reason, DJ James is my fourth round pick. I'm going to turn the card in right this second here. Boom. There he goes. DJ James off the board, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to put him on my list. Let me see what I'm interested to see where you go. Cause so you got, let me see, you got cornerback, yeah. You got tackle, you got, interior. Offensive line, and then you got a center / interior. I went wide receiver, tackle, guard, and then corner.
And so we're at pick 130, right?
We're at pick 130. So you got five picks remaining, Jimbo. What are you gonna do?
I might have to run through these picks.
Let me hear it. We can knock them out real quick. What do you got? What do you got? The time is up against it.
Yeah, a little bit.
I got you. Well, let me know. What do you want? Fourth round. Who you got?
Yeah, yeah. So this is a fun one for me because I think this is an opportunity for the Ravens to get a little flexible here, have a little bit of fun. I think they end up going edge here. People are gonna hate this pick. He's not even in PFF, Glenn.
What?
He's not even in PFF.
What's his name?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sundiata Anderson. I've only listened to people talk about this kid and watched very limited tape on him, but the dude is 6'5", 240, and he's at Grambling State, small school kid. The way that I see it is that this is a high risk, low reward type pick because he is.
You mean high reward, low risk?
High risk, low reward. Yes. Or wait, what?
Yeah, you keep saying it backwards.
Dude, I need to get some sleep. High reward, low risk type pick.
Okay.
And I think this kid's gonna go. I think he's just an athletic freak that couldn't score well.
Yeah.
He just couldn't get his test grades right, and he's got all of it right. This reminds me of like the Brandon Williams pick.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going with this guy, and I think there's an opportunity for him to come in and contribute on the outside. I think he's going to be uber athletic. He's strong. He's got some speed to his game. So yeah, Grambling State, Sanyeta Anderson. Sorry.
You okay? Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. He's like one of those guys where when they talked about, you know, can you find small school guys anymore? And they talked about how the technology's made it to where everyone finds everyone. If you're good, they're going to find you. But, you know, I still think there's an opportunity for guys to find lower level school guys and still, you know, find the gems there. But, it'll be interesting to see if he is their selection. But, I like going edge there. I do think they need to continue to add to the room. Obviously,
some depth.
Yeah, losing Clowney was, you know, that hurt. That hurt a little bit. But I'm gonna agree with you. I think I stay in the same room. But I'm gonna go with a different guy. Okay, I'm gonna go to California, place you're very familiar with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to UCLA, and I'm going to get Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA to run the edge. He's 6'3", he's 260. He's got the weight that I'm looking for as an edge playing here for the Ravens.
Okay.
I love the fact that he's more developed. I don't want to see – I like that we get these guys that have a lot of runway ahead of them, and they eventually grow into that finished product typically that the Ravens were hoping for. But I think they need a guy who can contribute a little bit quicker. And I think that this guy is just more advanced in his game right now than a lot of these guys we've been picking as of late who are more raw and have a little bit less experience. I want a guy who can contribute quicker and isn't necessarily maybe the highest ceiling, but has a bit of a higher floor. And so I like this guy's versatility. I think he can help in multiple different ways. He's not just you know, I don't think he's just a one-trick pony, but he's already got moves, and that's what I want to see. I know we got Chuck Smith. He can teach you moves, but I want a guy who can come in and do something day one, and we don't have to wait 3 years to get production out of the guy. So,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's a good pick. I like it.
I think that's a reasonable expectation. But, all right, what do you got for – what are we on to next? 165. What do you got, Jimbo? Tell me.
All right, let me pull this up here and make sure I got my right pick in here. All right, so I'm finally going into the well, Glenn. Finally going into the well.
The well, you went pretty deep into the well with the last guy, but DraftFlex has him a 4-6 round pick, the guy you selected. So,
yeah, well, I'm going with Chase McClellan, the wide receiver out of Alabama. And the reason I'm going with this kid is because I like guys coming out of them because the program, what it was under Saban. And I think what happens to some of these guys is the depth. And Saban doesn't play you just because you're a talented player. You got to work your way up the ranks. You got to work every opportunity you get the ball. You got to earn it. And so I think that these guys benefit from that, but other guys in the draft get hurt by that just based on counting numbers and tape and things like that. So I think that this kid has, you know, 6 foot it depends. Some sites have him listed at 6 foot, some at 5'11". Oh, geez, a whiz. Wait a second. Did I just give you the wrong guy? Hold on. Hold on. I'm tripping here. Oh my gosh, my bad, dude. Jeez a whiz. Chase McClellan is the stinking running back that I have later. My bad, Glenn. See, I'm reading a freaking. Oh gosh, I need to do something else in my life other than not sleep. Okay, here we go. This is my guy. I apologize. So this is my wide receiver. This is my actual wide receiver, Taj Washington. I took Chase later on.
Washington.
Yeah. I took Chase at 218, not 165. So I jumped ahead a little bit there. But I think he ends up being there anyway as a wide receiver. And he's a guy that, let's be honest, could potentially replace the production of Rashad Bateman. You know, maybe
he's not Casey. You talking about Casey Washington?
Taj Washington.
Oh, Taj.
Yeah.
It must have been taken already on mine. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, coming out of USC. And gotcha. You look, if you want skill positions, you go to the coast. It just is what it is. No, I like this kid though. I think he's a depth piece. He's a slot guy and has an opportunity to do some stuff in special teams, and we can see what he does. But look, it's not like Bateman has, you know, blown it up as far as production goes. So I think that there's an opportunity for this kid to come in, and if Lamar likes you, he's going to throw you the ball. And I think he's got an opportunity to play with a similar type quarterback, and you know, similar. Caleb is certain.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not Lamar Jackson, but get an opportunity to contribute. So for me, at this point, it's really just, you know, the flavor type of player that you like. Mm-hmm. And so one-for-one production, if Bateman's out the door, I think he's a solid pick there. So there's value.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, we got to it eventually. You know, we figured it out. It's all good. It's all good, brother. All right. So,
man, I gave you my next two. You can give me your next two if you want.
That's fair. That's fair. Man, this is getting tough down here, Jimbo.
Yeah.
Look, your boy Bo is still here, dude.
Yeah.
Your boy Bo. I might have to snatch him up. Look, I'm also looking at wide receiver in a lot of ways, even though I took one early, because I like Tylan Wallace, but I do think you need to continue to add to that room as young, even if it is young players. So I like adding a wide receiver, but you didn't go wide receiver early. So you kind of had to, you kind of backed yourself into a corner there, but, I'm going to go back to the tackle department. I'm going to go to your favorite school. I'm going to go to Oklahoma, got another big crybaby who walked his way out. We're going to try again to get a tackle out of Oklahoma. We're going to give it one more chance, because I do think you need to continue to bolster that room. And, so I'm going to go with Walter Rouse. He's certainly experienced. He's a big guy. He's got the length that you want in your offensive tackle. I do think this is a guy who's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to get coached up a bit. He's going to have to get a little bit of a Joe D magic, but, I like continuing to add. I'm not just going to just stand pat with one tackle and one guard. No, I'm going to double down at the tackle department. I'm going to go Walter Rouse.
Like it. All right, who you got next?
Oh, shoot, that's right. That's me. All right, let me see here. Let me put it in. I'm still sharing my screen, right? You guys can see all this?
Yep.
Okay. And there goes the guy I think you mentioned. I think he just went somewhere in there. Let me just see who's available here, Jimbo. I wanted to make this as – oh, there goes your guy, Limmer, Bo.
Hey,
Mr. Bo just went. All right, so we're at pick 218. So this is where you were getting your running back. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is he as good as Carson Steele? Because that's my question. My guy Carson Steele, running back.
Mm.
No, he's not very good, actually. no, I think they're going to go running back as an undrafted guy. I don't necessarily see them drafting one. Not to say you're wrong, Jimbo. Mm-hmm, I do think you could exactly be right. Well, I'm saying, you know, look, there's your guy, tackle. Man, who are they going to go with here, Jimbo? I'm thinking I might go edge here. I might have to go edge. Yeah. I don't have an edge yet on my
– sucks going edge.
Oh, yeah, right? I do have
Gabriel. This is where the Ravens – let me just tell you, Glenn, though, real quick. This is where the Ravens are going to go linebacker.
Huh?
This is where the Ravens go inside
linebacker. Off-ball linebacker? You think so?
Yeah. They find some – apparently, I like to say my next. Sorry, I am totally cutting it. My next pick is Curtis Jacobs out of Penn State.
That's your 218 or 228?
Yeah, let's see, 228.
228. You like what's his name?
Yeah. Where is he at? Here. Hold on. I just had. Oh my gosh, I got so many names on my screen. Oh, Curtis Jacobs. There you go. Yeah.
All right. You know what? I am gonna go running back. I'm gonna go Imani Bailey. I'm going to go Imani Bailey out of TCU. I remember DraftPlex bringing this guy up as one of his late round guys that he thinks is a really good player. And the reason I like him is because there's one thing Eric DaCosta said he wants in a running back, and John echoed those sentiments. You got to make guys miss. You got to force missed tackles. Well, this guy did it about as good, if not better, than every single running back in the country. So for that reason, I'm going Bailey, and it has nothing to do with the Draftplex also mentioned him as one of his favorites. It has nothing to do with that, Jimbo. I swear to you. No, I just lied to you. Now I feel bad.
That's okay.
Joe Milton is also being talked about as a guy who's going to change positions here. Any chance that the Ravens use one of their last picks to try and find a Lamar Jackson backup that
maybe
has some wiggle and can run a little bit?
Maybe. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So who Dude, you look, already made me, this pick?
Yeah. Well, yeah, 228. Yeah, I got my last pick dialed up.
All right. Who's your last pick? Tell me.
I'm going back to BYU, dude, because it wouldn't be the Ravens if they didn't take a tight end.
What?
It just wouldn't.
That's a good
and, one. And last pick, Isaac Rex. I'm picking him because he's 6 foot six. He's got a lot of potential in the red zone. Something that I thought was interesting is that he he's a converted receiver, so he's still got to work on his strength. While he's a big guy, he's got to work on his strength as a blocker, but he's got a big body. I think he was misused in college, and I think it's really hurting his draft stock. He ran 1.5 yards per route, according to PFF. What are we talking about here?
Wow. That's kind of like how Zay was used for the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it could just be a matter of usage, and I think that there's value there.
Mm-hmm.
The good old Charlie Kohler, Mr. Mark Andrews 2.0, could have somebody nipping at his heels, right? So I think there's value in the pick, and I'm going with Isaac Rex at a BYU.
Isaac Rex. Okay. All right. I like that. I'm going to go back to edge because I think they still need to continue to add to that department.
Nice. So you're taking two edge guys.
Well, yeah.
I like it. No, I like it. I like it. We need it.
Yeah. You can't just take one with this current room. We don't honestly know what we're getting out of Ajabo anyway. So as much as I'm hopeful that he can have his breakout season, I'm just going to make sure I add bodies to that room. So I'm going to go Solomon Bird, 6'3", 250, SC guy. You know, I know he's not a skill position guy, but I'm going to go to USC, take Solomon Bird. And that's my guy. So you already made your last pick, Jimbo?
Done.
Did it take him? Did it work? I tried to hit draft. Let me see. Did it work? Okay, there it goes. All right, so for the last pick, so you went tight end, bro.
I did, just because it's I think it's a guy that is going to be there and has potential. It's not like I'm expecting him to be a starter or anything like that. But
do you think they're sold on Jordan Stout?
Ha! Wait, are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. He had a bad punt in the playoff, one of the playoff games.
Leave the kid alone. They're sold Jordan Stout. Don't you dare.
Well, I'm just saying, if they're not, they don't have to pay the guy. That's true.
That's a good point.
They don't have to.
They're sold on him, though.
But this is the type of pick where, you know, they could, if they wanted to take a look at a different guy, they're gonna. But I'm gonna do what you did. I'm gonna go with Tanner McLaughlin.
I like it.
Tight end out of Arizona. DraftFlex has him as a 3-4 tight end. Rounds 3 to 4 tight end. So if you're getting this guy, look, does he fit what the Ravens are looking for? He's listed as a good enough athlete to get his opportunity as a big slot receiver. Well, that sounds like all the other tight ends here in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So, I think that I agree with you. I think they go back to the well. They get another tight end. They add this guy to the room. So I'm going to write in Tanner McLaughlin as the last pick. And, let's see what happens, man.
Nice. Love it. I'm looking forward to these picks. Looking forward to see what the Ravens do. Looking forward to being right. Actually, I'm not as confident in my draft this year as I was.
No, I don't want to hear that. I want to beat you when you're confident.
I'm not. But look, I'm not saying I'm not competing.
Lie to me.
I did my draft to the best of my ability. I'm competing as hard as I ever have.
All right. So, well,
I'm not going to phone it in here.
So, but Cooper is no doubt your guy, right?
Yes.
Like, you've been on him for a long time. Dude, PFF can kiss my ass. DJ James in the fourth round. You're out of your mind, PFF. Give me a D. That's bullshit.
That's awesome. I love it. And they gave you a C- your first pick.
look, PFF is way lower on him. I'm going by the smoke. There's a lot of smoke.
I like it.
Surrounding
like it,
yeah. This guy right here. He's explosive. Yeah. I love the guy.
Yeah, screw PFF. They have my Utah guard 221 overall.
Yeah, exactly. They're clueless. About? We know. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, should we announce our draft night plans or no?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it real quick.
All right, so draft night, last year we did live. This year, because of the fact that Jimmy's got a newborn at the house, he can't be mingling out here with a bunch of drunken patrons. No, he can't. He doesn't necessarily, feel comfortable. I certainly understand that, being around a bunch of people with a newborn at home. So we're going to go back to what we did 2 years ago. We still will be live streaming, but we'll be doing it from our homes instead of live at a bar, which might be even better for the viewing experience on YouTube. Definitely. We'll certainly miss not being able to see you guys and meet up and see you guys in person, get a chance to mingle. But we do have a pretty exciting guest lineup, starting with our guy, Evan Washburn, will be joining us for a half hour throughout the night, which is pretty exciting. That guy's been busy as heck with March Madness and all the commitments he has there and then back at CBS. So the fact that he's giving us a half hour is pretty cool.
Yeah, the only reason he's coming on is because of the construction. They're not doing something at the stadium this year, or else he'd be at the stadium.
No, the only reason he's coming on is because we asked him.
Well, yes, but like what I mean is that this is a great opportunity for us. He's going on from 8 to 8:30 right at the beginning, so make sure you guys hop on right when the draft starts, because he's going to be hopping on.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also we'll have our guys, Cole Jackson will be joining us for a period of time. Not sure exactly when, but he'll definitely be jumping in here. And of course, DraftFlex will be spending some time with us, making sure we get evaluations of the picks and get these guys' opinions on who they think we're going to take. And then ultimately, after we take the pick, what their evaluation of is of the player and the fit. So make sure you guys
join us. And Brad, I'm sure, will be hopping in a little bit as well.
Absolutely.
We have the whole crew. I'm sure Camden will make an appearance.
I might have to have a couple brewskis draft night, Jimbo. So you might get a little bit of a different version of your boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's right. A couple natty bows might be in order for Thursday night. But can't wait for it. What's your gut feeling, Jimbo? Do they stand pat and pick? Do they trade out?
I think they're going to stand pat. And whether it's my guy or a tackle, somebody's going to fall in their lap.
Or a wide receiver named Xavier. What's the matter? You just write off my possibility, bro? Look at this guy. He's not buying it. He's not buying it at all. But yeah, guys, make sure you're out there. Make sure you're there at the start. That way you can catch Evan and, everybody else who's jumping in. We'll be there all night. Can't wait. But that's it for us tonight. But we will talk to you on Thursday.
See ya.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.